Can prayer change your life? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Stan Lander, who had a great future until he got caught in a felony that changed the course of his life.
You know, I think prayer is honestly very powerful. And I didn't understand the power in prayer until I started seeing things happen when I prayed.
Wow.
And it was amazing when I first came to know the Lord, when I first became a Christian, people would say, well, just pray about it. And I would say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And I wouldn't really do it because I didn't think God could hear me, that he was far away or something.
Yeah.
But there was this one time where I said, you know what? I need $365 for a car payment. That's all I needed. But I only had 2 days to get it and I had no one to borrow money from. And literally the next morning, my sister called me and said, I need you to help work for the next couple days. Well, it ended up being a few days and I got the exact $365 that I needed.
Wow.
Now that was an answer to prayer and that's where my faith was. But we've seen much bigger things happen through prayer as we continue to pray after we got married and we prayed for people.
Yeah, you know, before when I was growing up, I didn't really think prayer really affected anything. People would say, oh, I'll pray for you. I was like, okay, thanks, but I need some action here, you know?
Right, right.
But now I have found out that prayer is amazingly effective. The Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that's so true. I can think of so many times where we prayed, not only for ourselves, but for other people, and literal miracles happened.
Yeah, I remember when we went out to eat, we were on a date night, me and you, and there was a girl who had like this wristband on her hand and she could barely carry the dishes to wait on us. And we felt so bad. And we said, hey, could we pray with you? And she's like, oh no, I'm okay. Many people have prayed for me. It's just something I have to deal with. And we were like, no, we believe God can heal you.
Yeah.
So we held her hand and we prayed with her. And it was no results right in that moment.
Right.
But 2 weeks later, when we came back, she came up running and giving us a big hug saying,
it was amazing.
God healed me that night. It was like he did surgery on my hand. I no longer need cortisol shots. The doctor said I'll be playing tennis again. We were even shocked that the prayer worked. It was amazing.
Well, it is amazing. And when you see that, not just once, but time and time and again, you realize, wait a minute, my prayers work not only for myself, but for other people. So remember, when you're praying, your prayers are not just hitting the wall. You just need to keep pressing through, trusting in the Lord Jesus to do what you ask him to do.
Mm-hmm.
God is so good and he loves you and he desires to give to you.
He cares about those things that you care about, big or small. And when you talk to him, it's a relationship with him and you're asking for him. Ask and you shall receive. Don't give up. You may be that next person praying for that person and they'll get their miracle, their healing, whatever it is. But God wants to hear you speak to him and ask him. Let's hear from Stan Lander after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by FA79 and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. FA79 serves delicious Vietnamese pho noodle soup, along with many other authentic Vietnamese selections. They've received Denver Magazine's Top of the Town Award and were voted Best Vietnamese Restaurant by the Denver Dining Guide. Make plans now to dine at FA79, located at 781 South Federal Boulevard in Denver, or call them at 303-922-2930. That's 303-922-2930.
Do you like listening to the Real Life Radio Show and wish you had a way to share these powerful testimonies with others? Well, now you can. Go to our website at awakeningthenations.com and select from 25 different CDs, each containing 6 real-life radio shows covering specific topics such as addiction, pornography, witchcraft, sexual abuse, suicide, and more. For a small donation, we'll send you CDs of your choice. Just go to www.awakeningthenations.com and order yours today. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Stan Lander, and he grew up in a semi-Orthodox Jewish home, and things started to change for him at 18 when he had a choice to make and an encounter with God. Let's hear from Stan. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Great to be with you guys today.
Yes. So tell me about your upbringing a little bit. how you grew up in this semi-Orthodox Jewish home. Were there certain things that you were to do, not to do, being raised in that type of Orthodox?
Well, start off, you know, I went to Hebrew school 3 days a week and had my bar mitzvah when I was 13. My grandfather taught me to every day pray the word, the Shema, which is Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Goes on to say how you shall teach it to your children and your grandchildren when you're lying down, when you're walking, by the way. That whole passage. So I was very much involved in the Jewish community growing up. But then things took a turn somewhere between high school and college.
What happened when you were about 18 years old and you were in college, hanging out with friends? There was something that started to change in you.
Well, in the summer between high school and college, I was over in Eastern Washington camping, and I was busted for pot, of which only a small percentage was mine. But because I was 18 and the friend I was over there with was 17, I was thrown in jail, and he was not. And my dad had to come bail me out the next day. And it was just a horrendous experience. In fact, I've had friends say, Stan, that's movie material. I mean, the town was deputized. There was a chase that ended up on a 500-foot elevated geography. It's very similar to Niagara Falls in upstate New York. And the kid who had taken my car, he had a guy on a motorcycle. He goes down on the cliff. I mean, talk about drama. Took five guys to get this ranger off the kid who's hanging onto this cliff. And
it's all
in the police reports. But anyway, my dad had to come over 250 miles, bail me out of jail, and drive me home the next day.
Now, was that kid your friend or was that you? Were you involved in that car chase?
I wasn't. We had gotten out of the car, but we were giving somebody a ride that was hitchhiking, and it turns out that the park ranger was out to get that kid.
Oh.
But lo and behold, the kid got into my car and drove off.
Oh, my gosh.
To get away from this guy.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And so we're not even with my car, but I knew it was in the car.
Right.
And it was enough, and it was a time when East Washington was very rural, and the laws were completely different from here in Seattle, Western Washington.
Right.
And lo and behold, I was charged with a felony.
Oh, my gosh. And that must have been so devastating at that age to be charged with a felony. You had your whole life ahead of you. And here you are in jail, and you're presented a book. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, a girlfriend had given me a Bible, and I had never read the New Testament before. And I really hadn't read the Old Testament. Well, I'd read the Old Testament in parts, but it was mostly, you know, my upbringing was what prayers you pray on what holidays. It was much more ritualistic. And so she'd give me a Bible, and I started reading, and the Psalms were the only thing that gave me any sense of peace as I was awaiting my trial.
Wow.
And I had supposedly the meanest prosecutor in the state. And we even went to plea bargaining where we had the lieutenant governor try to reduce it from a felony to a misdemeanor, but the guy wouldn't budge.
Wow.
But during that time, people are saying to me, I'll be praying for you. And that was a totally new concept.
So even though you grew up in this semi-Orthodox Jewish home, having people pray for you was not a normal thing in your life. Tell me how that's different.
Well, that you would appeal to God for your everyday needs. That was just something that wasn't part of my upbringing. It was more a matter of, on this Jewish holiday, you know, you say this prayer, and not to denigrate that at all, but it just wasn't a reality in my upbringing or in my life at that time.
Yeah.
With the exception of praying, you know, the Shema, as I would, but even that was very rote,
right?
A daily, almost obligation.
You're right. It wasn't relational. So here you were at this time, you're clinging on to these Psalms and you're having this hope. And what transpired from there?
Well, amazingly, I won this case. And 5 days later, I started my freshman year at the University of Washington. And then I continued to read the Bible. I saw that there was this truth in there that compelled me. And my journey lasted for about 18 months. And a good buddy of mine had become a Christian. There's some guys in the fraternity where I lived on campus, a group that were Christians. And God surrounded me. He just sent the, what they call the hounds of heaven in, to sick them. And boy, did they get my attention. But as a Jew, I really didn't believe that a Jewish person could accept Jesus. I hadn't met any other Jews that accepted Jesus.
So what happened to you after reading the Bible? You ended up making a decision for Jesus. How did that happen?
Yeah, I started to read the Bible and started to implement these things and want to be a more loving person. I was just convicted of the truth and love of God to a point where I could not deny it any longer. And after about 18 months, I finally prayed in my fraternity room by myself one night, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just said, Lord, this is the most difficult thing I've ever done. you know, I'm going to basically forfeit my standing, my upbringing, my family in the Jewish community, all these things. But I said, Lord, I need a sign. And I didn't even know what I was praying, quite frankly. But I prayed for a sign. And that evening, I had a real encounter with God. You could have scraped me off the ceiling. And then the next day, I'm on campus, and I get back to my fraternity, and there's a note on my door, come join me for dinner. And this is from a buddy of mine there at the fraternity. Mm-hmm. And so I got ready, and I joined him. And he said, my aunt has this person in town who lost her family in a concentration camp and supposedly has these amazing stories. So I went along as much as anything for the, you know, hey, free meal, home-cooked meal,
right.
Count me in.
Yeah.
So we're having dinner. There's five of us, and there's another lady there that's taking notes as this little Dutch lady's telling us stories about the Holocaust and harboring Jews and God's faithfulness. And she looks over at me just directly, and out of nowhere, she just says, so tell me, Stan, how long have you known the Messiah?
Mm. Wow. And how did that hit you or change your life?
Well, the hairs on my neck, for one thing, stood out about 2 inches because I thought, okay, this is it, Lord. This is showtime. You know, I'm going to profess my faith for the first time. And I don't know if you know the woman, you may be familiar with her, pretty well known, Corrie Ten Boom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this woman's taking notes for the movie that was going to come out about a year later for The Hiding Place. So she, when I said last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, she just lit up like a 500 watt light bulb, and she stayed up for like 2-3 hours just prophesying God's goodness over my life. And here she was, a woman, wow, who paid a dear price in a concentration camp harboring Jews herself.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. What a beautiful thing to be able to meet her and to, at that moment, really profess your faith in the Lord. And I know your life has changed since then. I mean, it's totally different than it was before, because now, instead of just having rote prayers, you're actually encountering the true living God through Jesus. You're able to access Him and have a relationship with Him. And there are people listening right now who are wondering, is Jesus the way? How do I get this? And we want people to have that same experience that you did, Stan. So we're going to pray for our guests and share with them how they can also receive Jesus and know that He's the way. Thank you so much for sharing your testimony with us.
Oh, my privilege.
Well, Father God, we just thank you so much, Jesus, that you have shown Stan that you are the Messiah. And so many are wondering, maybe even listening right now, saying, Jesus, how do I know that you're the Messiah? Well, here you're hearing of someone who said, how could Jesus be the Messiah? He is the Messiah. So Jesus, we take a moment and ask for you to reveal yourself as the Messiah, the promised one, the one that we are to wait for, that is to bring salvation and hope to all mankind, but most of all, salvation to me, to you, to all who are listening.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you that you are the Messiah. We receive that in Jesus' mighty name.
And if you're wondering, just do as Stan did and say, God, show me a sign. Is Jesus the way? And He will be faithful. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.